Timothy chapter 2, 1 to 13. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown, except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's world is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself.
Yeah, so we've got the seafarers up and running, and it was nice to have various important people and not so important people there to open up. So it's kind of like a fresh push forward. It was about £75,000 was spent on the centre, which came from grants and other things. But it instead of having a lot of these centres used to be kind of old dark wood, and they had a thing about creating a kind of almost an impression of a ship inside, so you'd have netting and ship's wheels and all that kind of stuff. But actually, seafarers are trying to get away from the ship, you know. And so, we've realised that in recent years, and to create a different environment there. And so that's all looking really nice, and it's really positive, and very pleased about that. But I was very conscious, as I looked at his lovely building, I thought, well, this is all really nice, new paint and everything. But what we really need is that kind of fresh move of God. You know, it's all right having, fixtures and fittings all nice and new, but Lord, this is your work, and, I pray for something fresh from you, with the seafarer. So if you're ever praying about the work on the ships, do pray for that, because there are opportunities to share the good news. And certainly the gospel booklets in the Bibles continually go out as well. And, my prayer is that God would use them. Seafarers would pick them up and use them. And it just brought it home recently, again, the importance for myself visiting the ship, where quite a simple encounter with a guy on watch, a Filipino, and I often ask, how long have you been on the ship on this contract? And he says, 2 months. I'm 2 months in of a 9-month contract. And he looked about a bit sort of downcast, and I was asking how he was, and he said, well, I'm finding it really difficult being away from my family, because my son is only 2, and he's not going to see him till well into next year. And it just reminded me again how difficult it is to do this job, 9 months every year away from your family. So I chatted with him for a bit and then said, do you mind if I pray for you? And they have a kind of almost like a bit of a lectern at the top of the ship's ramp, and he's on one side, I'm on the other, and I just prayed over him that God would encourage him, obviously, protect his wife and his child, and that he would be brought home, you know, swiftly to his family, and maybe consider, you know, is there another job opportunity where he could stay at home. So he prayed into that. He was visibly moved by that. You know, it was unexpected. There he was, you know, stood there, you know, just wishing he was home. And I said, but the Lord knows how you feel. And here I am, you know, to just encourage you and say that God knows your heart and he knows what's going on in your family. And he is near. He's not far away. And, you know, just remember to keep praying to him about how you feel and that. So that kind of thing is very important for me to be given that support to seafarers. So I just thought I'd update you with just those couple of things. So everything's moving along nicely there. Now, for this word, as I was thinking about it and, you know, getting before the Lord, a song came into my mind, and it hasn't stopped going over in my mind, so I'm going to inflict it on you. And you will probably know this. It's from years ago. It's Lynn Anderson sang it, and it goes, I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. Along with the sunshine, there's got to be a little rain sometime. And look, this is how the Lord speaks to me sometimes in these very unusual ways, because I really felt God saying, you know, when we think about hardship and enduring suffering and stuff like that, it's quite difficult. And I've really felt the Lord said, hey, you know, I never promised you a rose garden. You know, it's difficult. In fact, Jesus himself said that in this world you will have trouble. And it's difficult. It's difficult when we think about suffering and hardship, because I kind of feel as Christians, particularly in the West, that we're expecting, you know, we are expecting a rose garden. We're expecting, you know, a comfortable and a life without difficulties. That's what we want, but we don't often get it, do we? And certainly there's even one or two discussions when I came in to the church today just reminds me that life isn't always easy. And as I was further kind of thinking about this passage of scripture, sometimes I'll kind of go on the internet just to kind of see if there's anything that also speaks to me. And I came across like a chat room where somebody posed a question, why do people follow wealthy mega pastors? And it named a few people, American people, I won't name them today. But why do they follow wealthy mega pastors? And the answer that somebody put to that question was, because it's much easier to hear Jesus wants you to be wealthy and healthy than to hear that Jesus wants us to take up our cross and endure suffering. And I thought, well, that is true, isn't it? You know, because sometimes, I know it's not all the time, but sometimes people are going to flock to a church where maybe all they're hearing is the stuff that you want to hear, you know, where God just wants you to be wealthy, prosperous, and never have any health problems. I want that, but is it scriptural? Is this what the Bible is telling us? And certainly when I look through the Bible, there's nothing that I can see where God promises us a life without difficulties, without struggles and hardships. So, I see Paul kind of making sure that Timothy understands what he needs to be like, the kind of person he needs to be like. He's preparing him. And there's nobody better than the Apostle Paul to give advice to Timothy about suffering in hardship, because Paul was imprisoned, He was beaten, he was stoned, shipwrecked, he was often hungry, cold, and destitute. And in spite of this and more, Paul managed to endure suffering, finish the race, and keep the faith. What a wonderful example in the Apostle Paul for us to follow. And Timothy, Paul gives Timothy a good kind of strap line, if you like, to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. That's what he's encouraging Timothy to be, a good soldier for Jesus Christ. So what is the character of a good soldier of Christ? First of all, he or she is strong. That soldier is strong. In verse 1, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus. When I was at Bible College back in 1983, one of the things that they kind of taught us throughout my time at college was Christ in you. And it's always stuck with me. It is absolutely important that we recognize that as Christians, when we receive Jesus into our lives, he comes into our life. He's not kind of outside of us, he's within us. It's the power of God. And I've very much again in recent times been reminded of this, that we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need Christ in us. And I often give an illustration of if I was to be any good at football, it's useless actually showing me a manual on, you know, how to play football, because I guarantee with you that I am no good at football. I am actually left-footed, but you know, both feet left-footed, and I'm useless at it. It's no good trying to teach me, you know, to play football like that. What I need is somebody like Ronaldo or Messi, somebody like that, to actually get inside me, climb inside, and then there's a chance of me, you know, being a decent footballer. And God understands that, you know, it's not enough to be telling us how to live the Christian life. We need Christ in us. We need the power of God in our lives. And I've, over the years of being a Christian, I have found that so helpful. It's not me kind of gritting my teeth and trying to be a good Christian, trying to do what pleases God. In fact, it's allowing the Holy Spirit to work through me, to allow Jesus Christ to work in my life. It is the gift of power that God has given us. And so right at the beginning, Paul is saying to Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's what Christ has done for us. He's done it all, and we just got to receive him. So be strong in the faith. Secondly, a good soldier of Christ is single-minded, loyal to the his commanding officer. Where you want to please that officer, you want to do whatever that officer is expecting of you, and we need to put Christ first. In one of the other passages in Scripture, Paul also says we make it our goal to please him. That is our goal in life. I think it was the Dalai Lama said, the purpose in life is to be happy, which kind of sounds fair enough, but actually Scripture is telling us to make it our goal to please Jesus Christ. We put him first. We are single-minded in putting him first. There are many things throughout my life that cause me to be quite fearful. Not, I know I'm stood up here today, but you know, I haven't got that sort of natural confidence. And certainly in the early days, when God asked me to do things, or you know, sort of called me to do things, I was extremely nervous. To actually come up the front speaking, very nervous. I used to age like 10 years every time I'd stand up the front. Certainly to go on the ships terrified me, because I'm on my own. Who am I going to meet? going into sort of situations that maybe you wouldn't normally go into is quite fearful. The reason why I've done all of these things over the years is my goal is to please Christ. I don't want to say to him, no, I'm not going to do it. find something easier for me to do. When I feel God is guiding me, I want to please him. I want to do the things that he has called me to do. And I remember certainly when I was 17 and was at a college, not Bible college, this was to do with the building trade. And there I was in college with a whole group of guys, similar age to me, everybody acting all tough. Like you do. And I thought, wow, I can easily fit in because of my background. The schools I went to and that were had a kind of reputation of being a bit tough. So I could easily fit in. But I love the Lord. God had impacted my life, by quite an early age. And I didn't want to be ashamed of my walk with Jesus Christ. So why did I let it out? Why did I let people, know I was a Christian? It's because he was number one in my life. I had my whole life was suddenly fixated on him. And I didn't want to hide him and, just kind of go with the flow. I wanted to do whatever I could to put Christ first. And so, as I've said before here, that I was given a hard time all the way through college, and I didn't give up. And the reason why I didn't give up is because Jesus was number one. He was first in my life, and I was single-minded in following him. And, though I was at this point in my life, when I was young, I didn't understand a lot of these scriptures, but that's what was actually happening. I was strong in God's grace. I recognized he'd come into my life. I wasn't on my own. Christ in me. And I was single-minded in my desire to please him and to follow him. Secondly, or thirdly, could be a good soldier of Christ. He is strict. Strict in the way that he goes about his business. Like an athlete. Disciplined, obeying the rules. There's again a single-mindedness, competing by the rules. And for me, that was always obvious. In fact, when I was thinking about this at home, for some strange reason, I picked up an old Bible that I had, an American Standard Bible. I hadn't picked it up in years. And I picked it up and I thought, I just flicked it over to Timothy because I was having a look at it. And this section of scripture that we're looking at today, I underlined it and I put some notes in there. And basically, I said, we do it God's way. That's what I put. We do it God's way. There is no cutting corners in, trying to get round what God wants, trying to look for easy option. And as I was thinking about all of this, I came across a story. You quite remember, I think it was in 2023, where a Scottish ultra runner in a race at some point took a taxi. Took a taxi to near the finish line, came in third. Probably didn't come in first taking the taxi, but claimed third prize. And of course, when it was found out she'd taken a taxi part of the way through, she was disqualified. It's kind of obvious, isn't it? If you're going to compete in a race, You don't cut corners. You know, as a runner, you don't jump in a car and think, oh, I'll do a quarter of the race, you know, in the taxi. It's foolish. And yet, when it comes to living the Christian life, why do we think that we can do it any other way than the way that God wants us to do it? You know, it's His way. And I just thank the Lord when I kind of looked at that scripture is in 1989, I put a note next to it. I put, we do it God's way. That's the only way to please God. And that's the only way to compete, if you like, in that race, in that Christian race for the Lord. The word and the will of God is the standard for all Christians to live by. And I just feel more than ever, we're kind of being challenged with that, because I think there's a big pressure on us to compromise and to kind of do things a bit different. Do it in a way that is fits in with popular culture, you know. And more than ever, we've got to keep our focus on the word and the will of God. It's pleasing Him. There's no cutting corners, because like that woman in that race was found out, God knows those who follow Him and who live their lives to please Him. And finally, Paul uses the description of a farmer for as a good soldier as well. A farmer, somebody who works hard, you know, is always grafting. And certainly we know, we hear a bit about farmers at the moment and the kind of jobs that they have and how difficult they're finding it. You know, if a farmer doesn't look after his land, he's not going to have crops, he's going to have weeds. You know, it's just going to take over. As a child, I used to go on a farm often for a holiday. My parents used to dump me there, and with my sisters. But actually, it was very nice, because it was quite magical to be on a farm out of the city and to, you know, experience farm life. And I've got good memories of that. But I always remember that the farmer just used to get up at an unearthly hour to milk the cows. You know, it was like dark outside, and it was just felt to me like the middle of the night. And he'd have to do that all the time. You know, he was always doing something on the farm. And that's, you know, that is the life of a farmer. You can't just, you know, I'll just won't bother for a few weeks, you know. Paul is saying to Timothy, you need to be like a farmer. It's hard work. It's grafting. The Christian life is not just played out on a Sunday, you know, it's all week long, it's 24/7. And again, for myself, I kind of understood this right at the beginning when I accepted Jesus in my life, that it wasn't just going to be when people were looking at me on a Sunday. So that's when I kind of put on my tidy clothes and looked the part and that, but the rest of the week, you know, well, I don't even give it a thought. It was all the way through the week. And, you know, I ended up working in the building trade for most of my working life. And in some ways, that would have been a good time to keep my mouth shut, keep my head down. But no, I thought, well, you know, it's, you know, Christ is number one to me. He's, you know, He's everything. So it wasn't I was preachy. I just didn't hide my faith. So when people, for instance, when they talked about what they did on the weekend, you know, I went to football and they did this and that, all the rest of it. And I get, you know, a Sunday, of course, I went to church. You went to church? What are you going to church for? And it was an easy way in to, you know, begin to share something about the fact that I was a Christian. I did not want to hide the fact that Jesus was very important to me. And when I think of good examples of somebody who, you know, it's like a good soldier, as it were, you know, obviously Jesus Christ is the perfect example. But the Apostle Paul, what a wonderful example for us to be like. He's somebody who Timothy could say, well, this guy's, he's already doing it, and I can trust him. My own father, who died back in August, was a great example. When I look back over my life as a child, what he had to endure, what he had to give up, I mean, obviously he gained so much in Christ, but when it came to kind of suffering and hardship and that, and I think I was born when my parents were at Moorlands Bible College at 1964, almost a couple of weeks' time, I'm going to be 60. Blimmin' heck, where's all the years gone? God, frightening. But I was born at Bible College, and we were poor. My mum has told me a couple of times, she said that when dad, because he used to be a draftsman, so he was giving up that, a good job, to go into full-time ministry as an evangelist. And his church said, well, we're not going to support you for a couple of years because we want to make sure that this is God's calling. So, they, you know, put the squeeze on, you know, financially. And it was difficult. When we were at this college, they used to, for most of the time my parents were there, or we were there as a family, we lived in a caravan. That's all they could afford. And it's not like the nice caravans you get nowadays. And I had, at that time, I had an older brother and an older sister, and then I come along. And there's not enough room in the caravan. So they'd have a pram. I'm in the pram outside, and when it rained, they put an umbrella over the top. Yeah, that's what it's like. And when it was sunny, my mum said, "Cool, you used to get as brown as a berry, you know, but leave me out in the baking sunshine, you know." But, you know, we went through, it was very difficult, really difficult. And, you know, dad wanted to, he started up a church in Hartcliffe. Could have started, you know, church in Clifton or somewhere nice, but in Hartcliffe, you know, and it was challenging. And I know years ago, you know, a lot of people were kind of didn't have the money they tend to have nowadays. But, you know, we live by faith. And that is, you know, whatever comes through the letterbox, really. So it was tough. But when I watched my dad, you know, over the years, you know, it was authentic. You know, I could see what it was like when the church went looking. And, you know, he was the real deal. He was somebody who stuck at it. He didn't cut corners. And, you know, he's very focused on, you know, I'm here to preach the good news. And so I can see kind of firsthand what a life, you know, of a good soldier looks like, a good soldier for Christ. And of course, now dad's with the Lord, and you know, he's, well, it's going to be fantastic for him. And I'm committed, you know, to carry on telling the good news of the gospel. So Paul is basically telling Timothy to keep persevering, keep at it. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it's not easy. I've got no problems with Jesus, but just the Christian life is not easy, because we live in a time where, particularly in this country, where people aren't particularly fussed or interested in the Christian faith. And as I was driving out here today, I passed the big playing fields they got in Bristol, full of car boot sales and all that going on, you know, in... There seems to be so little interest in the things of the Lord, and it can be quite difficult to, you know, to be that good soldier of Christ. But Paul, he gives some final encouragement to Timothy. He said, "Okay, be strong in God's grace. Be single-minded, strict." But he also said, "You will be secure. You will be secure." In verse 11 said, "If we died with him," with Jesus, "we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him." And there's this wonderful promise of, you know, being with Jesus into eternity. You know, I'm very much aware when I look around society, there's a sense of hopelessness. Where is it all going? Where is it all going to end up? And I just love the fact that my life is in Christ. You know, there's that, instead of a hopeless end, you know, as I got older, I seemed to end up going to more funerals. And sometimes you think, it's like a hopeless end. But actually in Christ is an endless hope. It just goes on and on with the Lord. And it came to mind that old hymn, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives." And that's it, really. You know, we endure hardship because Jesus lives, because he is who he says he is. Because if we belong to him, we will raise again to be with him. We will enjoy that resurrection day with the Lord. And I think of all those wonderful people who've gone before me will raise to be with Christ. That is that wonderful promise. And yes, it's difficult. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. That's going to annoy you now for a long time. But Jesus has given us wonderful promises, and he said, stick at it, keep your eyes focused on me, be disciplined as if you're an athlete, be hard working like a farmer, stick at it, and allow the strength of Christ to reign in you. As I came out here today driving, and I kind of felt some of the pressures of society, you know, kind of pressing in on me. I just said, Jesus, more of you. Come into my life, Holy Spirit. Fill me. I need you. You can see what we're up against, Lord. You know, fill me. Open my eyes to see that you are here with me, that you're working through me. And that's what the Lord wants for each of us here today. Persevere, yes, but don't just grit your teeth. Welcome Jesus into your life to empower you, to strengthen you, and keep your eyes fully focused on him. Lord God, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would touch our lives afresh again today. Lord, we've talked about hardship, and you know, some here have been through real tough times, Lord. They know all about it, Lord. And we ask that you would help us to persevere. But Lord Jesus, that you would fill our lives with that kingdom power. Strengthen us, Lord God. Help us to fix our eyes again.